Judge Amy Coney Barrett is one step closer to being a Supreme Court justice after 4 days of confirmation hearings this week. Republicans are determined to confirm Barrett before the election, securing a conservative majority on the Supreme Court. Joining us now is Ruth Marcus, deputy editorial page editor of The Washington Post and the author of the book Supreme Ambition, Brett Kavanaugh and the Conservative Takeover. Ruth, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, the Senate Judiciary Committee is now scheduled to vote on Judge Amy Coney Barrett's nomination next Thursday, October 22nd. What do you make of the process this week and the speed with which the Republicans are pushing this confirmation through?
You think it was a little fast?
It seemed like it.
I've covered a lot of Supreme Court nominations, and I have not ever experienced one with this lightning speed or this absence of real drama in terms of the outcome. Everybody knows how this story is going to end. And rushing through a Supreme Court confirmation when people are already voting is bad for the Senate. It creates so much continued distrust and unhappiness there. It's bad for the country. Most of the country does not want to see this happen, and it's terrible for the court.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of the hearing. And obviously, there's so much going on. I'm not even sure how many people have been able to tune in to these hearings this week. But here is California Senator and Democratic vice presidential candidate Kamala Harris questioning Amy Coney Barrett.
Well, I just want to understand, are you saying that you will you refuse to dispute a known fact, or that you refuse to agree with a known fact?
Senator, I'm not exactly sure what you're getting at with asking me to endorse the fact or whether any particular practice constitutes voter discrimination. I'm very happy to say that I think racial discrimination still exists in the United States, and I think we've seen evidence of that this summer. But as
do you
to engaging
that voting discrimination exists based Senator, on race in America in any form?
Senator, what I mean to say is I'm not going to express an opinion because these are very charged issues. They have been litigated in the courts, and so I will not engage on that question.
Is it normal for a nominee to not answer anything, even about facts, about climate change or voting discrimination?
From Judge Bork, who was the nominee who was defeated in 1987 and set off 30 years of judicial confirmation wars that have now culminated really in the conservative takeover with Judge, soon to be Justice Barrett. Since Bork, nominees have been less and less forthcoming, and it's this kind of downward spiral of forthcomingness. And nominees only give up and answer what they need to answer. And mm-hmm. when there's no pressure on the nominee because she knows she's going to be confirmed, she doesn't have to answer anything. And so what we got with Justice Barrett was pretty much two sets of answers. One was, I can't talk about this because it's not within the judicial role for me to talk about climate change, say. And I have some sympathy with that. And the other was, I can't talk about that because it might come before me as a judge.
Well, you say she doesn't have to answer because she knows she's going to be confirmed. But I wonder, is there any part of somebody in her position that might want to answer that, for example, they, you know, think that Medicare is part of the fabric of the country, or they think the Voting Rights Act is part of the fabric of the country, that just may give some people more confidence in them as somebody who's going to be on the highest court in the land? Or does that just not matter at this point in her situation?
I think there were some questions that she answered. She was willing to talk about certain cases that are non-controversial or mostly non-controversial as correctly decided. For example, on the second day of the testimony, she said both that Brown versus Board of Education, the school desegregation case, and Loving versus Virginia, the 1967 case that said that interracial couples had a constitutional right to marry. She said both of those were correctly decided, but then she wouldn't answer the question about whether a case that had been decided 2 years before Loving, Griswold versus Connecticut, which was about the constitutional right to privacy and how that extended to allow married couples to obtain contraception. She wouldn't say whether that was correctly decided because that leads you down the slippery slope to Roe, where mm-hmm. we kind of know what she thinks, but she wants to keep it a little bit of a mystery.
The Republican senators on the committee were coming at this from a very different place than the Democrats asking Amy Coney Barrett questions. Here's Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, the chairman, addressing Amy Coney Barrett.
I have never been more proud of a nominee than I am of you. You've been candid to this body about who you are, what you believe. You've been reassuring in your disposition. And this is history being made, folks. This is the first time in American history that we've nominated a woman who's unashamedly pro-life and embraces her faith without apology, and she's going to the court.
What do you make of that, saying that she's unashamedly pro-life? I remember during the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation hearings, and Neil Gorsuch, too, that they went out of their way to say that, this person would look at Roe v. Wade as settled law.
Judge Barrett tried to make a distinction between her faith views and the way that she would approach the law as a judge. And I have to say that Republicans spent a lot of time trying to portray the Democratic senators as anti-Catholic and to sort of set up what I thought was a little bit of a red herring there. I mean, we have a court that is overwhelmingly dominated by Catholic justices, mostly on the conservative side. But I do have to say, you know what? Just like men, women come in all different ideological stripes. And I think it is healthy for the court, if it's going to have a conservative, new conservative justice, that she might as well be a woman.
So let's just look to the future, the near term future here. Do you expect Republicans will be able to put Amy Coney Barrett on the court before the election?
Yes, 100%.
And what do you think that Democrats will do if they then win the Senate and the presidency? Two big ifs, but possible.
I know we've had a lot of conversation, and it's a legitimate conversation to have about quote unquote court packing. I put quotes around that because honestly, when you have a situation where the Scalia seat, which occurred early in a presidential election year, was not permitted to President Obama to be filled by Merrick Garland, and then you have a situation where this seat that arose so late in a presidential election year that it's wrong and unseemly to fill it is being rushed through by President Trump. So you have the Republicans essentially engaged in kind of in plain sight court packing. So if you were to expand the court, I'd have a hard time really blaming Democrats for responding in a quite extreme way. On the other hand, I really don't expect that to happen. If Democrats win the presidency and if they win the Senate, it is still quite unlikely, and I think it would be very difficult for Democrats to assemble 50 or 51 votes to take the really dramatic step of increasing the size of the court.
So what would that then mean for the Affordable Care Act, abortion, gay rights, et cetera?
I actually believe that the Affordable Care Act, with or without Justice Barrett's vote, is going to survive. I know Democrats had a plan this time around because they knew they couldn't defeat Judge Barrett's confirmation, that they were going to use the confirmation hearings as a political vehicle to warn people that the Affordable Care Act is in jeopardy. I do not think it is in jeopardy from the court. I could be proven wrong, but I think that at the very least, the court majority, including some conservative justices, will agree that the provision that may make the law unconstitutional can be severed from the rest of the law. So we're not going to have the whole Affordable Care Act come tumbling down. For the others, abortion rights, gay rights, first of all, there are going to be at least five votes hostile to abortion rights, if not willing to take the plunge to overrule Roe. In terms of issues relating to gay rights, what we're going to increasingly see at the very least is the court being very willing to accommodate religious objections. People who say we can't bake cakes for same-sex couples. When gay rights come up against religious rights are going to win. And all sorts of other precedents can come tumbling down now that there are six conservative justices on the court.
Ruth Marcus, let me just ask you one last thing, which is we're looking at this, a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court, and at the same time, an upcoming presidential election, a 4-year term, but president of the United States. Which to you is more important?
This is the most terrible choice. For me personally, I think that it is very hard to imagine what the country would have to endure with 4 more years of Donald Trump as president. Of course, if we had 4 more years of Donald Trump as president, there's a likelihood that he would have even more appointments to the Supreme Court. So I guess if you gave me that terrible choice between the Barrett seat and the Biden election, I'd have to go for the Biden election. But I'm really sorry you phrased it that way.
Ruth Marcus, deputy editorial page editor of The Washington Post and author of the book Supreme Ambition, Brett Kavanaugh and the Conservative Takeover. Ruth, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Jeremy. It's my pleasure.